morning again. A young man named John received a parrot as a gift. But the parrot had a bad attitude and an even worse vocabulary. So every word out of the bird's mouth was always rude, it was obnoxious, it was laced with profanity. And John tried and tried to change the bird's attitude by consistently saying only positive words and playing soft music and anything else he thought that he could do that would clean up the bird's vocabulary. None of that helped. Finally, John was fed up and he yelled at the parrot. The parrot yelled back. John shook the parrot. The parrot got even angrier and even ruder. So John, in desperation, threw his hands up and he grabbed the bird and he took him and put him in the freezer. And he closed the door. And he could hear the parrot inside squawking and kicking and screaming. And then suddenly, it was totally quiet. He looked down at his watch. He hadn't heard a peep for over a minute. So fearing that he may have hurt the bird, John quickly opened the door to the freezer, and the parrot very calmly stepped out into John's outstretched arms and said, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions. I am sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." John was stunned at the change of the attitude in the bird. And just as he was about to ask the parrot what made him make such dramatic change, the parrot said, "John, may I ask you what terrible thing the turkey did?" I want you to think about your attitude this week and about that parrot when you get that turkey out of the freezer. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. It's an even more powerful reminder of how we ought to approach Thanksgiving this week. It reads this way. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That's the difference between the NIV and the King James Version. But in either, did you realize that it doesn't say give thanks for everything? It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances? It says, give thanks in everything. Give thanks in all circumstances. So no matter how terrible some of the circumstances of life may be, with God's help, they'll always be that for which we can be thankful. Two school teachers who hadn't seen each other in several years met at a convention, and they were beginning to fill each other in on what had happened in their lives since the last time they had visited together. And one teacher said, "I married 2 years ago." "Oh, that's good," her friend replied. "Well, no, not really," the first one said. "My husband is twice as old as I am." "Oh, that's bad," said the friend. "Well, not really, because he's a millionaire many times over." "Oh, that's good," said the friend. "Well, no, not really, because He turned out to be very mean, and he doesn't share anything with me. Oh, that's bad, said the friend. Well, not really. He did build us $1 million house. Oh, that's good, said the friend. Well, no, not really. It burned down last month. Oh, that's bad, said the friend. Well, no, not really. It turns out the insurance payment was double the house's value, and I used it to start a charity for underprivileged students, and it's been the most fulfilling thing that I have ever done in my life. Oh, that's very good, said the friend. To which the teacher replied, isn't it funny how life twists and turns, but sometimes those twists bring us exactly where we need to be. No matter how terrible circumstances may be in your life, with God's help, there is always that for which we can be thankful. Thanksgiving is finally here. You know how I know it? Because as you go to the stores, everything is not Thanksgiving. Everything is already Christmas. I know it because they're putting Christmas lights up in my neighborhood. But sometime this week, somewhere, some little kid, some little grandkid is probably going to come home from school with little turkeys that have been cut out of construction paper, and there'll be all kind of feathers and pilgrim hats on their heads, and they'll have a jolly good time remembering what Thanksgiving originally was about in this country. You may not know it, but tomorrow, our President Biden is going to pardon the National Thanksgiving Turkeys. You know their name? Liberty and Bell this year. And our very secular government that chokes every time it has to use the word God will suddenly project an air of piety and encourage all of us to be thankful for at least this one day of the year. You see, Thanksgiving is that kind of unusual holiday because it combines God and government and society. And it's considered perfectly acceptable for everyone, irregardless of your religion or not, to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know about you, but that concerns me because whenever they water down something so universally, to where it's now all accepted, then there's probably not much there from its original purpose. Look at Christmas. Look at Easter. It's not what it was intended to be in the Scriptures. So I encourage you this morning to take two safeguards to protect Thanksgiving. Just two things you need to remember. The first is very simple. It's this. Make sure that you are thankful to the right somebody. If you're going to say thank you, you've got to say thank you to somebody. Just make sure it's the right somebody. Harriet Makino was an atheist. One morning, she and her friends stepped out into the glories of the beauties of a fall morning. She saw the brilliant sun as it was peeking through the haze, and she saw the frost that was on the meadow out in front of her. And she could see the brightly colored fall leaves that were beginning to fall from the trees and make their way lazily to the ground. And she was filled with beauty. And she burst forth and said, I am so thankful. I'm just so thankful for it all. And her believing friend asked her the question, thankful to whom, my dear? That's a good question to ask at Thanksgiving. If you're grateful, if you're really thankful, then the next question has to be grateful to who? I like the story of the lady who pulled up to the bank drive-in teller window. And because the sun had been beaming through the window, the man inside the bank had lowered the curtain on the window so it wouldn't shine in his eyes. So as she drove up, out came the tray, and she put in her deposit, and in went the tray. And a few minutes later, the tray comes back out. She gets out her deposit and the money that she'd requested. And she looks up and says, I suppose you're fully automated, but I just feel like I ought to say thank you anyway. You ever feel that way? that you ought to just say thank you anyway. The old Ziggy cartoon comic page. Ziggy had an automatic teller machine, and it talked, and it would nag him. So he'd walk up to the machine to get some money, and he would start getting lectured by the machine, saying he was a spendthrift, telling him that he was spending just too much money. He'd come back the next week, and he would ask for some more money, and it refused to give him any money. Said, I told you, you were spending too much money. If you don't watch out, you're going to go bankrupt, so you're not getting any money today. Could you imagine how frustrated you would be if that's what happened and you went to the bank, to the ATM, and it wouldn't give you any money? We're going to talk this morning about King David. King David wasn't frustrated like Ziggy. In fact, he was far from that, because he knew the answer to the question of gratefulness. If anywhere had a cause to lift his voice in thanksgiving to God, it had to be David. You remember David, a little shepherd boy who became the hero of a nation. David, the hunted fugitive who became its king. A condemned sinner who, the scriptures later would say, a man of God's own heart. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We've got to go back to a beautiful psalm, Psalm 103, the first two verses. And listen to what King David says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So I say it again. When you decide to be thankful, be sure that you, like King David, are thankful to the right somebody. He knew that the Lord was the somebody that he should be grateful for the blessings and the benefits he'd received. But there's a second thought this morning, and that is this. I think we need, for Thanksgiving, to make sure you thank God for the right reason. Have you drawn up a list for Thanksgiving of the things that you are thankful for? I'm thankful for the blessings of being able to live in the United States of America. I know we have our flaws and our problems and our fusses and our fights. Trish and I have visited other countries, and surely we have seen the evidence on TV and read about all the problems in the world. I'm thankful for the privilege to be able to live in the country in which we live. And despite the aches and pains that sometimes I have, I'm thankful for the physical blessings that I've received from God. Someone once said, count your fingers and your toes. And if your mind is sharp enough to count your fingers and your toes, thank God for your mind as well. I got 9.5. Thank him that you can see. That you have the ability to move from one place to another. Thank God for the physical strength that he gives you every day. I'm thankful for God for supplying me with everything that I really need. No, I don't have everything that I really want. But he has met my needs and more, much more. I am truly blessed. And I know that he is the supplier of those blessings and benefits. Supplier of what is every good and perfect gift is from above. And I realize my list, your list, could go on and on, but let's look at the list of what David says here in this beautiful Psalm 103. Let me begin again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then in verse 3 it says, who forgives all your iniquities. King David began by thanking God who forgives all of our iniquities, our sins. David knew that was important. Oh, David knew it was important. But he didn't begin by thanking him that he was king. It didn't begin by thanking him that at that time, at least, Israel was the strongest nation in the world during his reign. He thanked God for forgiving us of our sins. That's really the most precious gift that we could possibly have, that we could receive from God through Jesus Christ, the way for our sins to be forgiven. And then he goes on in verse 3. He says, who heals all your diseases. That's interesting. I know David knew nothing about germs and bacteria and all of the things we know about today. But what he did know about was that when the people of Israel obeyed what God commanded them to do, they didn't have all the plagues that the other countries had. And when troubles did arise, he knew that when they called upon God, he was always there to help them. We may not be able to understand everything that happens in life, but I am convinced that God is the great physician and that he knows the deepest needs that I have or that you have. And whether that need is physical, psychological, spiritual, whatever you want to say, I'm sure God will always do what is best for each of us. And I'm thankful for that. David was thankful for that. Now look back at verse 4. He goes on to say, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He certainly did that for David. He has done it for Christians ever since. He does it for you and for I. We are overflowed with loving kindness and tender mercies. Then look at verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. All of us are searching for the fountain of youth. If you don't believe that, start watching all the commercials that inundate you every day in every program about what cream you can put on and what you can do to this. And Trisha's irritated by the one that says guys spraying some kind of a spray on their face and all the wrinkles go away. Obnoxious commercial, but you got the point. I'm a realist. And when I stand in front of that mirror I've talked so much about, I realize that I wasn't born with this fleeting graying hair or poor eyesight or the wrinkles that I do have. I think Paul explained it best. If you want to turn over to the New Testament, it's found over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. As we look at King David's Thanksgiving list, it's easy for us to say, oh, those are great. We'll just add them onto the end of ours. We need to realize, though, that even though bad things happen to God's people, we can still praise God. We're all blessed here. I don't care what your circumstances are. But you can look out those doors into the world that's around us, and not everybody is sharing in our joy and in our thanksgiving. There are many who are suffering. You hear Jeff at the end, he'll stand up here and say, who do we have to pray for this week? And you're going to hear about health concerns, surgeries, about family members and friends who are struggling in life. And on the list goes. And the reality is, if we were all honest, we would all raise our hands, and we all have something to which we need to be prayed about or for, because we're all suffering in one way or another. The book of Job in chapter 5, verse 7, yet man is born to trouble as the spark flies up. But even though bad things happen in our lives, and to good, godly people, we still can give praise and thanksgiving to God for what we have. Why? Because there's a difference between those out there who are outside of Christ and those who suffer inside of Christ. You remember the Psalm 23, part of it, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Christians know that God walks and that his rod and his staff are comforting. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered their covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." We read that, we know that, we understand that, but look deep into that. I may meet you and get your name, as we all do. 5 minutes later, we may have forgotten that name. And surely a week later, or a month later, or years later, we'd forget all of those things, even all of our school friends. God looked down on Israel and said, "I heard their groaning." And he looked back and said, "I remember the covenant that I made with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob." We may have people that move out of our sight and out of our mind, but God, though there are billions of people, none of that leaves him. He's the God of the universe. And he remembered the groanings of Israel, and he remembered the covenant that he made, and he remembers what's happening in each of our lives. Look at Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." God's saying to them, as he's saying to us, I hear the cries that are coming from the lips of my people. I hear every prayer that is made to me. I understand the depths of their hearts and their needs and concerns. I know what their sufferings are and their needs. And I'm reaching down to rescue them. Reaching down to rescue us. That is another reason to be thankful, is it not? Trisha and I have had 3 kids, 10 grandkids. Somewhere along that life, there's some hurt that comes to one of them. What is the most precious moments of your life when you as a mother or father are in those situations? Though you understand their suffering, you grab them, you hold them, you pull them in, and you say, "I love you, I'm with you, and I will hurt with you." In a sense, that's what God's saying. Or maybe they're too big for that, and you can't grab them and hold them, but you still sit down and communicate with them verbally your love for them. That's exactly what God is saying. Some of my greatest moments with God have been times when I hurt the most, I felt the emptiest, and I turned to God in prayer. And from the depths of my soul, he hears me, and he provides an answer and a comfort to me. So I'm saying this morning. If you are going through the trials of life without the help of Jesus, then we want you to know that you don't have to continue down that lonesome road all by yourself. God sent his son. We talked about that. And he did stretch his arms out upon that cross. And there's a reason why his arms were spread out. Because he wanted to encompass all of us. To hold on to us, to scoop us up into his love. He offers you that opportunity of forgiveness of your sins. He says, "Come to me through faith, repentance of your sins, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is Christ. You need to be immersed for the remission of your sins." We did that last week. William. Wash away those sins so we can walk in this life as a new creature. Forgiven of our sins. Yeah, we'll sin again. And we'll repent of that sin. But we walk with Christ. Come if you will as we stand and sing.